Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Tim Glemkowski. Tim's been our guest all week long, and he's been talking to us not only about his own journey in Christ as a young disciple, but also the ministry that grew out of his heart of walking as a disciple. Jesus really put something on his heart and his wife Maggie's heart. And I love having young folks like Tim on the program because I want you to be able to hear, friends, and to see what the Holy Spirit's doing in our time. And lots of talk happens around the millennial generation and what's with those 20 and early 30s folk, you know, and they're all walking away from the church and people call and say, my kids don't go to church. And I want you to know that the Lord is hearing your prayers, those of you who are praying, and his counteroffensive against the attack of the secular culture and the secularization of culture has already begun. And the seeds that were planted by John Paul II and Benedict XVI and now Francis, they're beginning to grow in passionate young disciples who really are becoming very serious followers of Jesus, in love with Christ and his church, but they're also apostolic. What do I mean by that? That the Lord's putting something in them that's stirring them to extend the boundaries of the church, to help renew the church, and to go deep into the battle that's going on in our culture. And it's very encouraging to see. Now remember, just 12 men and Our Lady and some others began the whole thing, Christianity, and it's covered the earth, pretty much the entire globe, just about, right? And because they laid down their life for what they believed. They were willing to die for what they believed. They were passionate and they were all in. And that's what I'm seeing in young people, and I hope over the years, as you've listened, you've been able to hear it and see it. The Lord does things with creative minorities. He doesn't shift everything at one time. And if you've been able to listen to Tim this week, you know, here's another example of an awakening and the action of a creative minority that God is raising up really out of his heart and the heart of his wife, Maggie, as a team, and it's begun to expand. So welcome back, Tim.
Yeah, thanks. It's been good to be here. Good to see you.
Yeah, I didn't mean to steal all your time at the beginning, but I just felt in my heart, you know, that there's something wonderful going on here that I didn't want our listeners to miss. So
no, I see the same thing for sure. Yeah, I don't know if the statistic is exactly 15 or 20% of the millennials who grew up Catholic, you know, they're still practicing. But in that group, I see an incredible amount of creativity. Like, our initiative is not alone. And right. A lot of people are burning with this sensibility for how do we do this thing, this new evangelization thing. So there is excitement in the midst of some of the more depressing statistics.
Yeah. And it's not so easy, is it? I mean, you talked yesterday about you stepping into something, this call to start this new ministry, and it's in your heart. It's not like there's a whole band of people surrounding you with their checkbooks open and, you know, and you've got everything secured.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah,
the
yeah,
Lord
yeah.
wants you to walk on water a little bit.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
The Lord wants you to walk on a promise. Tim, do you believe that I'm calling you? And are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and trust me? And that's such an important testing ground. I need to go there. I want you to talk a little bit more about the ministry and what you're learning, what you're teaching, what's at the heart of it.
Really. Yeah, I think the era in some ways for us, like, comfortable Catholicism is just not going to be an option. Like, it's going to be uncomfortable if it's going to be lived well. And so kind of armed with that conviction, yeah, my family in a particular way has tried to allow ourselves to be challenged and inspired by the Gospels to like live radically as lay people. And in our ministry, kind of our core project, one of the things I'd love to tackle with you is to kind of talk a little bit, like, not get all the way down into the weeds, but, you know, we do this thing called a parish partnership, which is our 9-month accompanying relationship with a parish to help it develop a lens and a desire, and then have some of the tools, you know, the structures in place, a trellis for some vines to grow on, for some fruit to be born in terms of discipleship in their parish. Like, this is a journey that every parish is going to need to take over the coming years, because the actual cultural situation has shifted dramatically, kind of swept the ground out from underneath our feet in some ways. And so a lot of the structures in terms of how our parishes operate are going to have to, I'm not talking about, you know, changing, not being Catholic anymore, but I'm talking about our lens. Like, is our heart for, are we stuck in maintenance mode, to use the phrase, or are we becoming more missional and intentionally discipling with our efforts? And so that parish partnership has really been the core project that's built a lot of excitement for our organization.
Yeah, and some things you know so well, you teach it, will never change. I mean, priesthood, sacraments, all that will always be at the center of our life together and our worship around the sacraments, around the Eucharist and the rites. So when you're talking about change, that's not what you're talking about. But what we are living through, in a nutshell, is we're going from an age of Christendom right? To an apostolic age, right? It's the Christendom was a time when the whole culture respected the church. Most people went to church. Church was packed. Our schools were packed. And that's what it was for 1,000 years in the West.
Yeah.
But that's all radically changing. And being in an apostolic age, some of the things that we lived out and how we set ourselves up in the church, how we brought people into the faith, worked during a maintenance moment because everybody was coming to the church. But guess what? Everybody's not coming to the church anymore,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And it's those in the church that are left that need to be able to reach those that are no longer in the church. That's the apostolic piece. And that's really what's in your heart, is to help that parish come alive to be able to reach out, right?
That's, you know, kind of the key in so many ways is maybe there's a 5 or 7% in a parish that's really engaged and kind of devoted to the life of the parish. And there's an additional maybe 20% or so of the registered parishioners that are really those daily mass attenders, those who identify as Catholic, that are maybe those weekly mass attenders, I should say. And so, yeah, how do you grow, begin to deepen conversion and discipleship in that group of people and then provide for an opportunity for them to go out? And I think even what you mentioned, like the structures that are not changing, like a big part of our emphasis is actually the spiritual fatherhood of a pastor, that role is actually crucially important for cultural change happening at a parish. And what's interesting is there's a great line in Evangelii Gaudium, Pope Francis's document on the joy of evangelization and the joy of the gospel, on what he calls the clericalization of the laity. That a lot of the way, we talk all the time in our organization about these twin calls of the Second Vatican Council, the universal call to holiness and the universal call to mission for all people, all baptized Catholics. And what happens sometimes in our interpretation of the council's documents is that we instead just tried to take the priest's jobs and give them to lay people. So what it meant for lay people to be more involved in the life of the church was to be an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion or to be a reader at Mass, like just liturgical functions. But in reality, if you read Christi Fidelis Laici, another, you know, John Paul II's document on the role of the laity, he hammers that phrase of salt of the earth. It's the lay people's job. I think we sometimes as lay people look at the priest and say, well, why aren't you evangelizing the culture more? It's like, that's not, his job is to sanctify us, father us, disciple us, that we can go out and really change the culture. And so one of the things we talk about with our parishes that we, you know, as we're starting to discern a process of, okay, this parish partnership, we're going to join with a parish to help it walk through this cultural change over a period of time. We like to talk about kind of our 5 key deliverables. Like, what does it actually take to start to change I almost think of parishes, sometimes they're such big organisms, right? Like a lot of bigger parishes would be constituted as mega churches in the Protestant world. Like a mega church is any church that has over 2,000 people attending weekly. Well, that's not uncommon for a lot of big suburban parishes. So what does it take to bring a culture change at an organization that large? And so we kind of talk about our 5 key deliverables. And so the first is really building a vision into the parish for what the parish exists for. Like Evangelii Nuntiandi tells us, right, the church exists to evangelize. Is that vision? I think, you know, great leaders lead through helping people see the vista with them. You know what I mean? Like not just the vision is somewhere in a pastor's mind and he's trying to walk people into a place where they like kind of almost hiding the destination. It's like, put the destination on the roadmap. Here's where we're all going together. Here's how we're getting there. And then 2, having a real clear sense for how is a disciple actually formed at our parish. I think those 2 in some ways of our 5 key deliverables are like the really crucial ones. If you kind of nail that, like we have a very clear vision for what we're attempting to do as a parish, because so much that we do in parish life is kind of just like because we've always done it that way or just because it seems like a good thing to do in the moment. But there's not this cohesive strategy or logic to everything we're doing is according to this intentional process where we're trying to become a more evangelizing, discipling parish. And then 2, a very clear idea of how's that actually going to happen here? Like how do we walk people through a process of conversion in our community to actually make that happen?
Yeah. I think part of the challenge for the church is the terminology discipleship is coming up more and more. That term wasn't
kind of a buzzword now.
That term wasn't used when I was young, you know, because it wasn't on people's radar in that way to say, well, wow, you know, what do we mean essentially? Well, how do we help people become conscious, clear, committed followers of Jesus in their whole life along the way of what you talked about in the first couple of days this week? How do we become Jesus followers consciously, personally? And then how do we help other people do that, both disciples and the disciple makers? And in reality, everybody, I think Catholics can see, yeah, the first part, becoming a more serious follower of Jesus, I get that. But me being involved in becoming a disciple maker, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's Father's job. Well, everybody's meant to have a hand. A friend of mine says, everybody gets to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They call the lady that...
Different positions, right?
Right.
But yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not everybody has the same role, but everybody is involved because they understand this is what we're about. The church exists to evangelize. It's to make followers of Jesus. Mm. And that's our heart. Every one of us, we do a lot of different ways, but we understand that's the thing we're going for. So that's kind of the vision that you're talking about, right? That vision, that the vista, and that everybody can gather around that vision.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, if that's not in place, people won't gather around it. Like, people are just, the way Deacon Ralph Pollio puts it is, we end up just doing church. Like, and I think that's kind of the alternative to this more. Is it a lazy lake of evangelization where we all kind of just like exist, you know, kind of come to the church and just be? Or is there this dynamism to it, like a river where we're actually cutting and changing culture and kind of all going in a similar direction together? Yeah, I think as Catholics, I know I for a long time, I mean, I think there's cultural baggage sometimes with terms like evangelization, where I was just talking on the phone with some of the people we're working with in a parish the other day, and he's like, I got to be honest with you, keep using that word evangelization. He's like, and in my mind, that is strong arming, like, you know, like, do you want to be saved in this moment, make a decision right now kind of stuff. And he's like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. And so there's, you know, context that we have to provide for these words that we're using to help people really understand what we mean by them, just walking with people and helping them mature and growing and being generous with our own relationship with God so that it can be, you know, poured into other people. But I think there can be almost in our minds and hearts, like a false humility, the more devout we get sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's like we see our own sinfulness and our own kind of inability to, you know, to really be perfected and sanctified. And so we begin to think we actually need to retreat further and further and further. Like, I think especially for lay people, like, you know, that serious prayer and devotional life is crucial. Like, can't be replaced as the heart of discipleship. But I think sometimes we're lacking because we're not going, like, we're not being made more hungry to be filled back more up. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can almost develop even this more exalted consumerist mentality where we kind of come and are fed and then leave and then come and are fed and leave and never really give in a serious way, according to our charisms and our gifts, like you said. But I think that is crucial to kind of get over that sense of, like, even while imperfect, Christ is calling us to bear fruit in some way in other people's lives.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think sometimes we get preoccupied with our own holiness, that is our own getting perfected in God in some way. And that's often our concern, our prayer, our thought life is around that. But the dimension of Jesus' life, he said, I came to seek and save the lost. Mm. Jesus died on a cross for sinners, and he sent the world. He said, I send you into the world. I send you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to the whole world I'm sending you to bring the gospel and the good news. And it's not uncommon for people who even are more serious maybe about their own growth in piety and the rest, to hardly ever even think about the lost, quote unquote, or bringing the gospel to others, or having their heart break for what breaks the heart of Jesus. I mean, he died on a cross, and St. Vincent de Paul said that when Jesus was on earth, his great passion was to reach those who didn't know the Father and were lost, and that's still his passion today,
yeah,
he said. And that's what he wants to have in our hearts. And I'd say, so it's not enough for us just to get to church and to be pious and to be good people. That's really important and foundational. But to mature, as John Paul II said, the disciple begins to mature, to reach fuller maturity when the disciple takes on the master's mission of being sent.
Yeah.
Boy, this today it flew by. Tim, we got to get more out of you tomorrow. Can you come one more day?
Yeah, sounds good.
No, this
looking
has
forward
been really
to it.
Good. Yeah, I won't take so much of your airtime tomorrow. Anyway, God bless you, friends. Join us again tomorrow. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.